So you just moved to Los Angeles to be an actor. What do you do now? Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Here you go.
Hey.
Breakaway. Who is it?
Kelly Clarkson.
There you go. Any other fun facts? This is my friend today, Tim, is the king of fun facts. Any fun facts about this song?
Not the song. A fun fact about Kelly Clarkson. She played Simon Cowell on Reba, the sitcom. So that was kind of fun.
See? There you go.
Mocking herself.
There you go. You are hearing the voice of a former student of mine, mm-hmm. And someone who listened and heard about the two-year plan coming to Los Angeles, because I met him in Nashville, Tennessee. 5 years ago?
5 years ago.
Yeah. And we're going to learn more about him and how he applied the two-year plan, which I am talking about today. Recalling last week, you heard Chris Darga and I, who came up with this plan. We met Tim in Nashville and told him all about it. Last week, you talked about what you did to prepare for the two-year mm-hmm. plan. This week, we're talking about the actual two-year plan once we get here with Tim Peck from Nashville, who heard about the two-year plan from Chris and I mm-hmm. in an acting class in Nashville. We're going to get into that in just a second, but before that, we're going to start with the regular segment of the show, Sean's Week. What happened in my week this week? Okay, writing-wise, we're still on hold with the pilot. My co-writer is still taking some time to get a few things together, and we step back for a couple weeks. This is the play Psyche on Vine, which Tim saw.
Absolutely.
But a movie I wrote 2 years ago is getting some traction. I found an executive producer, and it's getting some financing, and I just made a big decision this week because of a close friend of mine convinced me that I am actually going to direct it.
Nice.
So I'm going to direct it, star in it, produce it, and I co-wrote it.
Nice.
So it's a horror comedy, and so it's called Crust, and I will keep you guys abreast of what's going on with that. Auditioning, Tim, mm-hmm. I've had the craziest week. Mm-hmm. So I told you guys last week I got pinned for one show. Then the following week I got pinned for another show. This week, now I can't say the project or the casting director. I went in and I had a good feel for the project and the character. And I went in and the casting director literally pulled me out and said, "Listen, I'm not supposed to do this, but you're amazing. This is your part. It's fantastic. It's going to be great. When we read the breakdown, we thought of you. It's going to be great. Just so go in there and have fun." Went in there, had fun. They were like, "Oh, this is so you. It's perfect. It couldn't be more perfect for you." Called my agent, said, "You know I'm never going to get it, right?" Mm-hmm. And they were laughing. They go, "Oh, when they say that, they love you. That's why they're so supportive." But of course, they went with a fat dude.
Nice. Nice.
So, but you know, it's kind of like a Hollywood curse. The more they say, mm-hmm. the character actor curse is always when they say, "We love you. We're going to have you back on the show so many times when you've done a guest star." Mm-hmm. You'll never see that stage again.
Correct.
You're never going to be on that stage. So the more people show their enthusiasm for you in the room, it's, mm-hmm. I've always had the experience that I never get the job.
Yep.
But a lot of good, fun things going on, especially with the movie. So mm-hmm. it was a really big week.
Nice.
So now let's get to our topic. The two-year plan is basically coming to Los Angeles, just like if you went to med school or mm-hmm. law school and gave yourself all that time to focus on your career. And we, Chris and I, as you saw last week, came to Nashville, and we talked about it with my guest, Tim Peck, and this was 5 years ago. So tell me the impression that you got from that workshop.
I was very impressed. It was a two-day workshop, a Saturday and a Sunday, mm-hmm. and I think you divided it up into quarters where most of it was scene study, but one of the quarters was you and Chris, you got out your dual binders that were the same material, and you did the little three-ring binders, and you went page by page.
Yes.
Like, you do this, then you do this. And I think most of those kids in that room were stunned, like, you know, "I'm never going to be able to do this," but I thought I could. It just it would
Why
just
take... did you think you could?
Because acting for me then was such a just a explosion of an idea for me, because I never even thought about acting until I was 47. Took my first acting class in Nashville, and you were like 3 months into my acting career.
Wow, I didn't
where
know
I was
that
like,
early.
Okay, I can probably do this, because you were the first person I actually recognized, even though my teacher had been on all my children for 10 years. I didn't recognize him, but you were the first person I actually recognized.
And we want to give a plug for Alan Dicer.
Yes,
Nashville, Tennessee. Fantastic teacher. So if you're in the Nashville area, take classes from Alan Dicer.
And so when you walked into the room, it was like, oh, that's the Got Milk kid. So that was funny. And so it was actually a realistic touch with Hollywood, let's say. And, you had a plan, because you knew what you were doing. Your career was 30 years established. So it was like, what you're doing is very serious. And I thought I could probably do this. Now, I did not move for another 20 months. Yeah,
because
it was almost 2 years.
Right.
You're right.
Right.
And then I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. So New Year's Day 15 is when I moved out here.
That's amazing. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. And so to recap what we did last week, guys, getting prepared for the 2 year, and then I'll touch on a few others, because some of those, as you prepare for coming, you continue those aspects once you get here. Mm-hmm. One was log in experience. Make sure that you're taking classes or doing community theater, which Tim obviously said he was taking classes. Did you do any theater there?
I did not do theater there. But
you did some film stuff, right? Student films or commercials?
Yeah, I did many student films at Watkins School of Film, and I think that's it, School of Film. Because there's not much of my demo running around there, tall, bald, white guys in their 50s trying to do films. So once I did one, it was just like, okay, will you do mine? Will you do mine? Will you do mine?
Right.
So I was kind of like the Philip Seymour Thomas of Nashville student films, which is not saying anything.
Well, no, but the great thing is, like we said, log in your experience. Yeah. Okay, secondly, we also talked about saving money.
Yes, absolutely.
So how did you handle that?
Okay,
when you were
a little bit different aspect at going in at 49, because most kids come out here between 18 and 25.
Sure.
So it's a little bit different for me, being a little bit older. But yes, whatever value you think you need, you're going to need twice that. You really are.
So we said you can't move out here without a minimum, and this is bare minimum, of like $5,000 in a coffer.
Yeah.
And I would think it probably falls maybe between 5 and 10.
Yeah.
But you could come out here with 5, live a month, but you've got to really hit the ground running in that month.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then the other thing we talked about last week, getting ready for the 2 year plan, was know your type. And you just kind of touched on that.
Oh my gosh.
You knew exactly how you were going
to
get cast, probably from the student films, right?
Absolutely. Now, I played a little bit of kind of a sweeter character in student films, but primarily the creepy guy, primarily the prisoner, the killer, the whatever.
Right.
Because of the lines on my face, I have such character lines that
bald head, tall.
Oh my gosh,
he's tall. You can't see, but
and
he's
pale.
Tall.
Pale is scary. Very fair skinned, and that's scary.
Yeah, but okay. So here's a great point, guys. Notice how Tim's talking about this. He's not saying, "Oh, what a shame." He's not saying, "Oh, I'm so ugly." He's not. It's just kind of matter of fact.
Oh, no.
He knows he's his business, and he knows his product.
Oh yeah,
that's
absolutely.
Your product.
Oh, with joy, I know my product.
Yeah, but that's what you're selling, and that's
absolutely.
really fantastic.
Yeah.
So let's get into it, guys. Let's jump into what do you do when you actually get to Los Angeles? Okay, so overall, the most important thing is that the next 2 years are about acting. Now, I'm not saying don't have friends. I'm not saying you can't have a relationship or, boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever. But the main drive, just like people going to med school and law school to hammer it, to hammer the point, is that's their focus for
Absolutely.
That time. You have to buckle down and focus. So these 2 years are about that. Why? Why? The reason we say that is, say you come out here at 22 and you do it for 2 years. Let's say it doesn't pan out. Let's say you're not satisfied with the lifestyle, or you don't have the correct attitude to navigate through this. If you go home and you're 24, when you turn 80 someday, you're going to say, well, I gave it a shot. And what's the phrase about the pound of regret, or, the fear of trying something is way better than the pound of regret that you'll have if you never tried it.
Yeah, of course.
And so you give it a real shot, but don't come out here and dabble. I guess that's my point.
Yeah.
You can't dabble in this
that's
because
true.
There's a lot of people come out here and they start and they get a side job, and the side, I know personally, a coworker of a friend of mine who did that, came out here, and he got caught up in a relationship and his side job, and he hasn't done anything for his acting, and he moved out from far away. So that stuff can happen. So don't move out here for acting unless you're going to do it
right
physically, day and night, and keep that focus.
Yep.
So that's the overall message for you today. So number one, when you get here, that's the ding. I'm going to try that again. Watch this. Number one. See, I like the little pregnant pause. Find a cheap apartment or a room. Okay. So why do I say that? Because your overhead has to be low, meaning your transportation and your apartment, because the extra money, we want it to go to pursuing acting. Yeah. All the things you'll need, the classes, the headshots, certain clothes you need to get for auditions, anything. That's where that extra money has to go. So we don't want you to come out here and have an expensive apartment and then just say, oh, I can't afford that class.
Right.
Because you're not here to have an expensive apartment. You're here to live lean. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I told you guys last week, I slept on an air mattress in a crappy apartment with four guys in a two-bedroom. So I was sharing it, and I went to sleep on the air mattress, deflated every night. So, Tim, in terms of living, so I say cheap, definitely has some kind of parking or some situation for your car, and definitely either a small room or roommates.
Yeah.
Definitely, because I told you guys right down the hall last week that I have two-bedroom apartment for young actors, you know, sharing that. Now, I know you don't have roommates, correct?
Correct.
So what did you do to do
I'm in
your,
the studio.
There you go.
Also, my mom's best friend's husband was in the industry on the production side for 40 years, and he said, do the Oakwood for 1 month. They have 1 month leases. Now, that's not cheap, but it keeps you from having pressure of looking for an apartment you don't want. So I signed a 1 month lease fully furnished at Oakwood.
Okay.
And I casually took 30 days to find my real apartment, which I did.
So just a really quick side note for people who don't know what Oakwood is.
I'm sorry.
A set of apartments. Yeah, it's fine. But it's a set of apartments. I think there's a few in Los Angeles, but I know, did you do the one in Burbank?
The Oakwood that all the celebrities talk about when they moved here.
Yeah, it's a great place to come, and you come and you can get an apartment really quick.
Right.
And like Tim said, so you can month-to-month lease. Mm-hmm. It's filled with actors. So there is actually, just by living there and participating in some events, there's networking right off the bat.
Yes, there is.
So that's a great way to do it if you came to Los Angeles. I'm sure they have similar things around the country. There's a thing here called Upstart, which Kat Smith is going to be staying at. And they have just little pods, very basic housing, and like a bunk bed situation. But they also have recording studios, a green screen to do some filming. They have teachers coming in to teach seminars and things. That's another way you can do it.
Yeah.
So what did you do? You 30 days
so
in
the Oakwood.
So I did
the 30-day lease, and then I moved to Studio City in a studio.
Okay.
And I was there 3 years, and then I moved to Pasadena in another studio.
And you were saying, that was Pasadena cheaper? Or
it was the same price. Now it's
but you got a lot more amenities or something.
Yeah, it's just a quieter neighborhood.
Okay.
The people are stacked on top of one another like they are in Studio City. The density is less in Pasadena. It's just a quieter neighborhood, and I'm 52 years old, so... It's going to be more to my liking.
A little bit more than like, but so the main takeaway here, studio.
Yeah.
You didn't come get the nice.
Oh, no. Don't try to be like, well, I have to get a one bedroom because my mom might come visit.
Right. Yeah,
she might. And guess her mom's staying in a hotel.
Or an air mattress.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So great. So that's really, really important to get your, so when you get here, get situated in a. Now, a lot of people might have a friend. People couch surf when they come out here.
Yeah.
But take that first month to find your apartment and make sure you're living lean.
Yes.
Very, very
absolutely.
Lean. Okay. Number two, get a job with flexibility to free up the days and/or nights for classes. Now, what does that mean? You cannot do a regular 9-to-5 job. Now, That's for the long haul. Mm. If you came out here and wanted to do temp work, which is different, and that's 9 to 5, that's flexible. So maybe you put yourself in the temping pool for Monday, Wednesday, Friday, mm-hmm. and your acting classes are on Tuesday and Thursday. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. But I'm talking about a regular 9 to 5 job. You're going to miss out on a lot of classes, and most definitely you're going to miss out on audition opportunities.
Correct.
So you need a job. That's why the cliche is that you are a waiter. Mm-hmm. Why? Because let's say I have a waiting shift at 8 o'clock on a Wednesday, and at 7 o'clock, I just got an audition for the next day that I need to work on. Well, a lot of waiting jobs will have subs. You can call people to cover mm-hmm. your shift. Mm-hmm. It's flexible. So that's really good. And then a lot of waiting jobs, the best shifts are at night. Mm-hmm. So you don't miss any of the mm-hmm. days. And even if you work at night, you might work Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I think we have a friend, Megan, who her shift was like Wednesday through Sunday or whatever. Mm-hmm. Or Thursday through Sunday. Mm-hmm. And she did her classes Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. So that's the way you can always work around the system if you have a flexible job. Another one is bartender. Same idea, flexible. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, like I said, do temp work. A lot of people work from home. You can do remote stuff, but a very popular one these days is either driving for Uber or Lyft mm-hmm. because that's really in control and yeah. that's your
that's
gig, right?
Yeah, I drive Lyft. I'm a night person, so okay. that helps, and I drive at night. And I love it. And you meet people, and when they share their stories, it's so interesting. And people okay. from all walks of life. When I say all, I'm talking about ALL, all walks of life.
So here's a great thing, guys, because we talked about learning the first week about, you know, being able to study human behavior, mm-hmm. You know, be open to a new way of thinking. What a great classroom yeah. that is.
Yes, it is.
Because you can, I mean, what great characters you yep. could glean mm-hmm. from.
Yes.
What's one of your favorite stories from Uber driving?
Oh, absolutely. That my top story, which I tell all the time whenever someone asks me, what's your most interesting story? Well, let me tell you, it'll be real quick. I'm not going to bore
you. No worries, no.
We're at the very famous Bob's Big Boy in Toluca Lake on Riverside. It's been there since 1949. The Beatles ate there. There's actually a plaque at their booth.
Yeah.
So it's a very famous landmark.
Yes.
And it was 1 a.m. during last October, because here in Los Angeles, Halloween is not October 31st. It's all of October.
Yes.
So Universal Studios has Halloween Horror Fest, which goes till 2 a.m, even on a Thursday night.
Wow.
So that's going to be important in just a second. So I pull up, and Toluca Lake is very affluent, very quiet.
Yes.
So by 1 a.m, there's not a car on the street. I stayed on the street, and I saw my pickup. Her name is Zoe, very attractive woman, and she was with her friend. And I could just tell by her body language something was wrong. And they were talking to an older gentleman like my age. The girls are in their 20s. And this older gentleman was talking to him. I was like, something's wrong. You're not messing okay. with my girls. And I don't know these people, but still, you're not messing with my girls.
Yeah.
So I pull into the parking lot, roll down the window, and I said, Zoe? She goes, yes, like I saved her life. She gets in the car, her friend gets in the car, and both in the back seat. The window is still rolled down, and the gentleman they were talking to, well-dressed, good-looking, in his 50s,
sure.
leans in the car and goes, I'm so sorry, I'm so embarrassed. I'm a doctor at St. Joe's, and someone broke into my car. Now, at this point, I'm second city trained. I worked in the hospital as a graphic designer in marketing for 21 years, so I combined those two. So let me give it to you in proper timing. Ready? I'm a doctor in St. Joe's, and somebody broke into my car. What kind of a doctor are you? I'm a pediatric cardiologist. Huh. What are the four chambers of the heart? He had no idea. All right. So, of course, he was faking. I took off. The girl started laughing. The girl said he never asked us for money, sex, or anything. He just kept giving us a sad story. Great. I dropped the girls off in Burbank. I get a call for Universal Studios. Great. I go up there. It's a mom in her 40s with her two daughters, teenage daughters. The girls get in the back. Mom sits up front. The story I just told you is now 5 minutes old. So I tell her. She's so excited and laughing so hard. She goes, that guy has been around for years. That's
what?
His jam. He, instead of asking you for $1 and $2 like most typical homeless people, he'll ask you for $100 and then get your information, wink, wink, and,
wow.
and then pay you back.
Like, wow.
But the thing that upsets me is if you're going to do your little scheme and try to get money from people, do that to me. Do that to Sean. Do that to young women.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
But
what a great... Again, what a great character.
Oh, my gosh.
You could probably write a short about that guy.
Oh, my gosh.
You
yeah.
could play that guy.
Yeah. And I even tell my Lyft riders is I'm an actor and I play creepy guys. So I always turn back to the writer when I'm telling the story and I go, and I can't wait to see that guy again.
Oh, that is creepy. The creepy guy, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Tim, the creepy guy. So if anyone has a project in need of a creepy guy, you have one right here. But yeah, I mean, and then you can set your own hours. And if you have a busy audition week or whatever, you just max out more. Mm-hmm. You can adjust, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the takeaway, guys, is that you need a job that is flexible. One that you have more control over.
Yeah.
Even when I had a downtime, and we're going to talk about the roller coaster of acting, the ups and downs. I had a downtime in the early 2000s, from 2004 to 2011, and I had a kid, two daughters, a mortgage, and I had to get a side job.
Yeah.
And it was actually going into Costco's and doing demonstrations for a high-end blender. And the key for me, because you'd have to do them 10 days at a time, and for me to make really good money, I would do 10 days and then 10 days off and then 10 days. Again, was I immediately focused on becoming a trainer. So I could have someone in the booth at all times. Then if I had to do an audition, I could always leave. And I could take a day, say this is the day you need to be on your own. So I could take a day off to focus on my acting. So acting was still the priority, even though I had to take a step back and help out my family a little bit. So it's really all about the flexibility more than anything. So the mistake is, it's not about the money. It's about the flexibility. Again, focus being on the acting.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Now, this is one of the most important, and we're actually doing a whole episode on this next week, but you need to find an acting class. It's hold on. Number three. Find an acting class. Oh, my engineer's going to kill me. So you need to find an acting class. Why? Number one, you need to be studying. Like we said, this is if you were in med school, if you were in law school, you would be learning cases or learning, medical procedures or biology or anything. This is what you need to do, is you need to get into a class and you need to learn something new. Now, you might go into improv. Again, we're going to do an episode on that. You could go into dramatic acting. You could pick your lane, which you really want to focus on most. What was your first class?
First one was Crater Studios. And all classes here, they should let you audit first. And if they say, no, you can't audit, you just have to pay money, don't do that. But
most, that's a good point.
Most, if not all, will let you audit. I audited Crater. It was great. Loved it. Did it for maybe 8 months.
Okay.
And then my next one was Second City. That was my focus. And that's a two-year curriculum at Second City here in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So that was my only class for 2 years. And then I did your class, and now I'm in the Will Wallace School in Burbank, and that's scene study, and I love that.
Okay.
I really enjoy that.
Okay, so the other part of taking classes is the most important is the people you meet.
Oh, yeah.
It's the networking. Yes. It's meeting other actors, and this is when you meet these people. These are going to be the people who say, oh, I just got an agent. Oh, do you like them?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're friends with them and then say, do you think your agent would have my type or need my type? Sure.
Yeah.
Then they might give you an introduction. So many agents. I got a manager from classes. I was in the Groundlings. And so when I performed in the Sunday show, agents and managers came to that. But the people that I met there, Chris Darga, for one, have been lifelong friends.
Yeah.
Lifelong friends.
Absolutely.
And have just worked with Jay Kogan, who did the show School of Rock, which you guys came with me, I just saw a year ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Through Groundlings. People I've known for 30 years. And those are people you met in acting class. I also, and when I was at Playhouse West, Sean Barnes was a great student friend of mine. And because I had a good attitude and the right attitude, 25 years later, he helped me get a job and teach in North Hollywood.
Yeah.
So that is really one of the most important parts of the acting class. Tell me about the people you met in your classes.
Absolutely. And when I was looking for an agent here in Los Angeles, I would ask people like, who's your agent? Do you like them commercially, theatric, or whatever?
Right.
And my first 45 weeks here,
yeah.
I would email at least one agent a week because I found out through someone that I met in an acting class maybe a casting director workshop.
Okay.
And it was with 100% failure. The agents, they wouldn't even reply back. But the moment I got my SAG card, the next one I inquired to, I signed with. They said, come on in.
Yeah.
And I signed with.
Yeah. We'll talk about the SAG card coming up.
Okay.
But But again, through a friend in class, right?
Absolutely.
Now, you just told me about a carpool you're doing tonight to go to your groundlings classes, and tell me about the two friends there.
That would be Carol. Do we use last names?
Sure.
Okay, that's Caroline Dingwall and Megan Williams.
Yeah, they were. Go ahead.
So I met Caroline at a casting director workshop with Lindsay Weissmuller, but I don't know if I technically met her. I think she was just in the class.
Okay.
And then we saw each other at a car wash. We did not know each other's names, but we kind of played it off.
Right.
And we actually became friends at that point, and then that's when I had one of my coffees with you, because when I moved here, I'd have 6 month coffees with you.
Yes.
And you said, I just started teaching at Studio 4. You know, come audit it, come check it out. And
sure.
I did. And I told my friend Caroline, she's like, well, I'll go too. So we came and we joined the school, and it was great. And that's where we met Megan.
Yes.
And it was a delight.
And those three hit it off.
Now we're the three amigos.
Yeah.
We're just inseparable. It's
They help each other.
Absolutely.
Now, haven't you started kind of a support group?
Yeah, Megan does that. She's it's called Back Booth.
Okay.
And it's just actors getting together, supporting one another, putting on showcases, trying to write short films.
But aren't you a part of that?
I am. Yes,
yeah,
absolutely.
So Caroline's a part of that. So, you know, these friends, you know, you take the journey with them.
Absolutely.
And you support each other, you help each other, and a lot of these people you will meet in your acting class.
Oh,
so it's not just about learning.
Yeah.
It's going in there with like-minded people, and again, the more people you know, this is hands down, the more people you know in this town, the more opportunities you will have, period.
Yep.
So even going to different classes and meeting new people and different people, that's really, really, really crucial. So that's why taking an acting class is so important. Number four. Ooh,
a little late.
That wasn't my fault. It's a brand new thing, folks. Be patient with us. If you can do extra work. Now, why do I say this? Because if you've never been on a set, this is a way to figure out what a set works and looks like. And I would say do a film drama, maybe a sitcom with three cameras. Maybe a movie if you can, but I would only do it to learn about the set, and don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. So remember when I was telling you about people who came out here and said, oh, I'm going to be an actor, and they said, oh, a quick way to make good money is by doing extra work. Well, they get stuck in that, and they cannot get out, and they go, oh, I'm an actor, but I've been on this show for 4 years. And I said, well, how do you go to auditions? Well, that's what I have to work on. After 4 years? Mm-hmm. So it's real easy to get stuck in that. Mm-hmm. It's a group of nice people. You're on a set. They treat you pretty decently. Mm-hmm. You get decent money. You're working all the time, so you can't spend that money.
Yeah.
So I can see why it's enticing. But if you want, again, this is not to knock extra people. What I'm saying is if you want to be an actor, you cannot be an actor and an extra at the same time. It's just too long.
Yeah.
Too long and fills your day.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't do extra work, correct?
Mine's a little unique.
Okay.
I did two episodes of background for the show Nashville while I was in Nashville.
There you go.
So I got a feel of a network drama. And let's go back to Alan Dysart. Alan Dysart was producing a film called All My Many Sons, about David Lipscomb's basketball coach, who was a legend in Nashville. And he wanted to hire two stand-ins, a female and a male. So he just hired the most responsible people in his class.
Okay.
So he hired me and Alexa McFadden.
Okay.
And I was on set 12 hours a day for 6 weeks. I know exactly how set runs.
Yeah.
Because I was there every day. Because as the stand-ins, you have to be there the moment the production guys arrive, and you leave, you're the last ones to leave.
So there you go. Yeah. So you got your experience on a set.
Tenfold.
So you know exactly. So you didn't. So a little bit in Nashville, a little bit here. Oh, no, both in Nashville.
Both in Nashville. And I just out of curiosity, I don't know the guy's name, but the male lead in Bring It On, he was a teenager at the time because it's like 18 years ago.
Okay.
He was shooting a short for like a buzz reel for a feature film.
Okay.
And it said background work, and you're going to be in a plane in Van Nuys. And I was just so curious, how are we going to be in an airplane in Van Nuys? So I applied for it, got it, and it was just a sound stage where they reconstructed an airplane.
Sure.
So I did one background job out of curiosity. It's like, how are they going to make a plane in Van Nuys? And so I've done one background job here.
But yeah. Great. You can now, if you are fortunate to live in a town that does have work, Atlanta or somewhere, New Orleans, you can get that done before you get to LA. But it's definitely something you should check off. Aren't you glad you had been on a set?
Absolutely. And even student film help with like that sound
was gonna
speed.
Say
like sound speed, like what is that?
Right.
When you hear it for the first time, you're so like, what?
Right.
And then it just becomes the norm. And then you go on a professional set and it's all the same. It's just you're getting paid for it. Though.
Yeah. So that's another reason if you can when you're in your town to do student films, because you will learn a set.
Absolutely.
To the slightest. But when you come to LA, if you can do, you got to do Nashville, which is obviously a huge show. But if you can do any kind of work either in your town or when you get here, it's crucial. But again, do not keep doing it. 2 to 3 weeks tops.
Correct.
And then get out.
Correct.
And you have to get out. So last week we also talked about a few things that we're going to continue right now, which we said, you know, get ready to learn how to network when you're at home. But now when you get here, continue networking. Mm-hmm. So Tim was always really good. Whenever I went to Nashville, he was always one of the people that signed up first. Whenever I did my workshops, he was always there, responsible, did the work. And when he came to, he said he was going to be coming to LA. I think you told me in Nashville, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You told me in Nashville. So I said, you know, absolutely, keep in touch. And speaking of networking, he would insist that we have a coffee every 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I thought, God, how smart, you know, really smart. We'd just check in. He would... No real agenda, but just saying, hey, this is someone I know. He's in the business. And because of one of the coffees, like Tim mentioned, he became part of my comedy troupe in North Hollywood. The
Knots?
The Knots. Yeah. The NoHo Townies.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we had he was a star of many of our shows and killed it. And a fan favorite, my daughter's favorite. She would always be excited to see you. And when we do a show and she goes, is Tim in it? I go, oh, he's not in this one. No.
Great.
Amy, yeah. Big fan.
Yeah.
So, but that was all because Tim made sure that we kept in touch. And because of that, you know, we able to help him out there. And now because of my class, they felt more confident in their improv. They're starting their growlings tonight,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely, yeah.
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 So really good with Megan and Caroline and Tim.
Caroline's
going to go advanced.
She's in advanced class.
She's in advanced, to be fair. Yeah. But they're all going together, which and they all met in my class, which is great.
Yeah.
So networking, really important. Any other networking stories since you've been here?
It's just real important to, when you meet somebody, the connection and be memorable and always make the eye contact and have energy all the time. Don't, because so many people have this entitled way about them. And it's just like, no, just be charismatic and memorable.
Yeah.
And now, don't be glued to your phone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You will make more of an impression.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Own the room. Walk in the room and own it.
Yeah.
Don't be arrogant. There's a line between confident and arrogant.
Yes.
And try not to cross over to arrogance, but always just own the room when you walk in.
Yeah. Learn the business. Continue to learn the business. Keep studying. Those weren't official numbers. I'm sorry. That's my. We're working out the numbers and dinging things, everybody. The movie. Don't you have a wah wah in there anywhere? But the plays, movies, TV, keep watching stuff? Are you keeping up on any shows that you like?
Yeah, my two favorite shows are both on FX, and that's Better Things with Pamela Adlon, and my favorite comedian is Zach Galifianakis, even though Louis Anderson has stolen that show.
That's what I heard.
It is so good. I mean, Louis Anderson is
hilarious, right?
He's so good.
And what's the name of the show? It's the...
Zach Galifianakis is Baskets.
Baskets. I really want to see that because I'm a fan of his.
Yeah, those are the two shows I'm really dedicated to.
But if you had an audition for a show you had no idea, would you look it up on YouTube?
Oh, of course. You have to. Yeah, you have to get the tone of it if you've never seen it.
Right.
To see what they're looking for.
So this is what... We talked about all that stuff last week at home to study TV, movies, shows, things like that. But you want to continue that while you're here. So now we're going to say do those things for the first 6 months. Get into your classes. Really get settled. Feel good about what you're doing. Steve Martin had a great quote that said, so many people worry about their headshots when shouldn't you worry about being good first?
Yeah.
So take 6 months. This is my advice. You can do it as you wish, but take 6 months and settle that. Settle into your lifestyle. Maybe the apartment doesn't work out and you have to move. But you want to get settled in your job, your apartment, your classes, everything you're doing. Mm-hmm. So 6 months later, I say once you feel really good, then start inquiring about number seven. Yes. Get headshots. Mm-hmm. That was actually number six. I'll do it again. Number six. Get ahead. We're killing it on the numbers, guys. The numbers and the dings are the... Everybody's going to be talking about that. Get headshots, okay? And here's the simplest thing. First of all, networking in your acting classes, for sure. Mm-hmm. Who can you get headshots from?
Exactly.
Where do you get them from? How did you find your person to take your headshots?
Act Now casting director workshops, they would have business cards or little 5x7 cards posted of, and they usually would give discounts to the members of that school.
There you go.
And that's how I got mine is Ennis Casey, and he's taken my headshots 3 times in 3 years.
There you go.
And he's great. I highly recommend him.
Yeah.
He does wonders, and he's in the Valley.
Yeah. And that, and again, you know, because you're in an acting class, they gave you a discount. Yeah. Mine is Yvonne Macias, who's fantastic. She's taken several people. She took Caroline's,
Sure did.
Did mine. Did a few other people from my class. Emilio.
Yeah.
Bunch of different people. She's great, Yvonne Macias. And I always give a discount to my students. Mm-hmm. She will give a discount to any of the students in my classes. Mm-hmm. So that's one way to find them is in your classes, networking with your friends. But number one rule of your headshots, they must look like you.
Correct.
There's a problem. A lot of people want to... I think it's the Instagram problem where it's, I want to look really good. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you may look really good in one of those photos, but it doesn't remind me of you. Mm-hmm. I want to see your headshot, talk to you and go, yeah, that looks like you. And it reminds me of you. Mm-hmm. I know one of my students, she had a picture that should be hanging over her parents', you know, mantle in their house. Yeah. But it didn't remind me of her. She looked gorgeous and beautiful, but if you sat with her and talked in a room, you might go, wait, is this the same person?
Yep.
So you just have to have your personal essence, and it has to look like you.
Yes.
Really basic. Now, number seven. Number seven. Audition for everything that you can. Mm-hmm. Everything. Why? Because you'll get used to everything that's going on.
Yeah.
You'll get used to how it works, how the auditions work, the process. I am an acting coach. I help people with auditions. If you can find a good coach, great. Or I know Tim uses again, people from his acting classes. They help each other and read for each other. That's another way. So audition all you can. Tell me a little bit about Actors Access and how to because in my day, I got an agent really quick and there was no such thing.
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about doing that. Self-submitting.
Were there telephones in your day? I'm not sure. No, when I was non-union, you immediately sign up for Actors Access for sure. You have to do that because that's gonna expose you to the most jobs for sure.
Okay.
And when I was non-union, I go out all the time. Now it was student films, non-paying, maybe $85 project here and there. But I was going out all the time, and I was using Los Angeles' public transportation.
There you go.
Because I was going so much, it's like, wait, I can't drive there and there, so I'm just going to take the train.
Right.
And it's highly effective, like Sean says, to get used to it. Also, anytime your face is in front of eyes that have the power to hire you, even if they don't hire you for that job, you've gained. It's called winning the room as opposed to winning the job.
Yep.
They'll remember you in some capacity.
Exactly.
So just go out as many times, even if it's a non-paying job, you don't know where that student's going to be in 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean.
The story I told at the beginning of the show, these casting directors have always fought for me, always like me. You know, I make a joke that they were saying, oh, this is your job and I didn't get it. But I love having them on my side, and that's because I had a great audition with them maybe 20 years ago, and they've continued to bring me in. So audition, audition, audition.
Yep.
Number 8, get a package, meaning your real footage of yourself. You want to get that through the student films. That's another reason to do student films.
Absolutely.
They're going to look good. Now, I've heard that you can actually do self-tapes of yourself, and you can use that if you don't have anything else. You can have let's say your student films, you're only doing comedy, but you need a dramatic thing. Mm-hmm. You can actually do a self-tape, and that's just a reading with a we'll do a whole episode on self-taping, but with a basic background behind you and someone reading off camera and you doing the scene. My agent just came to my school to talk to them and said, yeah, they will look at that to get an idea if you can act. You want to get a reel together and or showcase. And this is what I taught my students. When you were one of my students, I want to put you up in front of people as much as possible.
Yeah.
So we did improv shows. I know the Growlings does shows.
Oh, yeah.
The school I'm doing now, the Flux Comedy Dojo at Playhouse West, we always do a show at the end of each round of classes after a couple months. And now once they get into advanced in a few months, they're going to be doing sketch improv shows all the time. You want to be able to say, oh, I'd love to see your stuff. Great, I'll email it to you. Or you want to be able to say, yeah, come to my improv show next Friday night. You know, so showcase yourself, get yourself out there, because that leads into number 9, getting the agent. We're killing it now, by the way. Get an agent. And how you do that is what Tim was saying. So tell me how you got your agent. You were saying you were emailing.
You have a cover letter and you cold email these agents because they know what you want. And be very brief. Just say, I'm looking for representation. Here's my headshot. Here's my resume. And just at your earliest convenience, I would love to get an interview. Something to that effect. Just because you don't have
Did you have a package or footage that you said, or did you have a link at that time when you'd send those?
I had a reel. It was all student films from Nashville, but I had a reel once I landed in LA. I already had a reel. It's better now because it has a little bit of LA stuff on it now.
Great.
But yeah, that's what I did. You just cold email them.
Yeah. And sometimes you can have some places, like I know I had for my students, I did an industry workshop, industry night where they did scenes, and two people got signed that night. Kat and Megan got signed that night. And that was because I had an industry night with agents coming to see that. If you know you're going to be in a play or something that they might like, you can always email and say, hey, I'm, you know, come and see my show. Yeah. If they don't, that's fine. But at least they kind of see your name, see that you're actually doing something. They just want to see you're doing something,
absolutely,
that you're being seen. It's always bad when the impression is, I need you. Remember, guys, we were talking about this outside. The agent is 10% of your career. You are the 90%.
Yep.
You make the majority of your work. They help you. They connect you. They put you in rooms that you can't get in. But it's your positivity, attitude, and proactivity that does the majority of it. And was just telling a story about how he just got something when he left an agent he had
in Atlanta.
And just got a new thing just because they liked him and didn't want to go through his agency. So it's really all about you. So you want to show them that you are someone that's worth their time.
Yep.
And if you're putting a reel out there and doing showcases and you're constantly, you know, the training looks great, but you want to be able to say, when they say, what are you doing? You want to be able to say you're doing something.
Absolutely.
And that's really, really the most important thing. So one thing I talked about last week, my very first episode was attitude. And so as we wrap up the two-year program, I just wanted to say that attitude is, you know, I told you how important that was in the first episode. And I have to say that the reason Tim does so well and continues to move and float and change, and, you know, we ended, my school ended, I wanted him to move with me to another school, it didn't fit. And there was no hard feelings. There was no burning of a bridge. Obviously, he wouldn't be here today if that was the case. So his attitude is great. Now, why do you think you have such a positive attitude about approaching this work?
Because my mama loved me. That's the honesty. I mean, I grew up in a house of love and laughter, and just I've always had a good attitude.
Right.
But now that, you know, when I went to the, I went high school, military college, graphic designer, 21 years. But this is the first time I've ever wanted to do something that I really wanted to do. So it's just everything, every time I turn around, it's joy, because it's just part of the process of doing what I'm supposed to be doing now.
But what would you say to somebody then who wants to come out here and do it as well?
Okay.
But they get angry, or they get bitter, or they, you know, why did that person get signed, you know, get picked from the showcase and not me?
You have to take joy in your friend succeeding, and it'll be genuine too. You'll genuinely feel, oh my gosh, that person just signed with that,
Or what if you just say, I'm just so frustrated, I haven't got an agent yet, or, you know, focusing on the frustration of it. Because guys, I told you in the first episode, it's hard. It's not an easy thing, and it's a specific kind of life.
Right. Yeah, you really have to want it, because the frustration is going to be there quite a bit.
Yeah.
But then when you hit those little successes, it's just like, oh, now I know why I'm doing this.
Right. Yeah. So that's the very last, number 10, evaluate after 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you want to do. You evaluate after 2 years. So within your first 2 years, what was going on?
My first 2 years, I booked a soap opera. I got my SAG card. I got an agent here. I got not quite an agent in Atlanta just yet, but I was on the right track. And what I like to call is LA became my body bag city. I'm not leaving here. This is where the coroner will process me, because this is where I need to be.
Well, so after 2 years, when you evaluated, things were moving in the right direction.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Enough success just from, like you said, 90-10, it's the agent is 10%, you're 90% of it. Most of my successes were me through professional relationships, through casting director workshops or classes or whatever.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, I've got something here that people like to see on camera, and so I think I can work and make a living from this.
And listen, let's say after 2 years, let's say anybody is out here and the classes are hard. The teacher keeps saying, you know, there's things you need to work on. Then you go to another teacher and that's hard and it's not working. You don't seem to be grasping it. The lifestyle is too daunting. A ton of reasons that you just can't blame yourself for.
Right.
It's literally just not a fit. If you evaluate and you say, you know what, it's not really working, I don't see anything moving in the right direction, then you go home or wherever you want to go, or you can stay and do a different job. But you get to say, I gave it a real shot.
Sure.
I put 2 years of my life, blood, and sweat, and I know that you know, it just didn't fit for me. It didn't work for me. And I don't want to put in more time when I'm not getting any of the right feedback that I need. You can't blame yourself, guys. Mm-hmm. You just take that 2 years, and when you're 80 and someone says, oh, you should have been an actor, said, oh, I tried. It didn't work out. Mm-hmm. But you can rest comfortably knowing I gave it 100% of the shot.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's really, really crucial to the two-year plan. So, if you have any questions or thoughts about the two-year plan, you can go to YouTube and you can put it in the comments section underneath. I'm going to be taking questions there. Also, you can rate us and put it in the comments section on iTunes as well. If you like the show, give us 5 stars. And if you liked it on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. You can reach me at thatguysmw. That's on Instagram, and that is on Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook under Sean Whalen, under Sean Whalen Peeps. And next week, our fabulous co-host and amazing co-host Roxy will be back. She had a literally in the air in a plane. She got stuck up there, so she couldn't be here with us tonight. I want to thank Tim. You can find him on IMDb. Mm-hmm. To reach out to him there. Thank you for living the two-year plan.
Thank you.
And now, because it's going well, it's turned into a lifelong plan.
Yes.
Which is awesome. Yeah. And that's really why we do this. Reach out to us, let us know, and as always, thank you for letting me be part of your journey.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.